Ik wil je dol aan je leggen en gaan naar Samarians wensen. En dat is een schijne dag waar de zonneschijn is te buiten en het is goed warm. We hadden gisteren een beetje regen, een beetje storm. En het is interessant hoe dat de Heer eens eenmaal dingen deed. En we in storm, sinds we een volle rots bij. Wie weer in rots even deed, wil we een stad invoeren, we nog een kleine beetje wat holen. En voor we van half eraf en dan kunnen we zijn alleen de gas en hem oosten aan de lijn de gas, dat werd gans donker en juries en checkte hem vast en het zag ook zo. Maar we voeren in de stad en we wonen wat geven en we voeren dreig wat we gaan wonen en we waren een paar minuten drak en komen terug en hadden wat geen regen gehad, maar even op een terug was wat we thuis waren en we wonen in de stad, dan kunnen we zijn dat had geregen, waar we vielleicht bijna 10 minuten verder hadden gevoren. En we hebben thuis, we waren in drie en we hebben thuis. En dan, Lord, dan denk je dat het doorgereden. Maar ik denk eens eenmaal, we checken ons raam en we zijn in storms raam ons. En velken zijn we geschouwd bij God, wils we zijn kinderen zijn. En dat zegt op en er staat op een steed. We worden dat alle dingen zijn, maar ons wordt dat niet nakomen. Dat is like ik denk dat het een enigste psalm, ik krijg ze. Maar eens eenmaal, van wil het zijn, hoe veel kan de Heer ons beschouwd, en het is alles uit een storm rond ons, maar wie zijn, hij heeft ons geschouwd, we hebben niet de trouble beleefd wat we zijn, en we kunnen zo dankbaar zijn, en ik wonder hoe veel kan de Heer ons heeft beschutst, en we zijn dat niet meer je best. Dus we kunnen voor veel dankbaar zijn tot ons grote God. Ik wil je also ook je leggen te reizen met de wereld van wat Paulus brokken deed. Je nood zien met ooit met een en zijn vrede van God, onze Vader en de Heer Jezus Christus. Je willen de nood en de vrede God als die verspreidt aan ons en dat is wat we ons zo veel kunnen verloten. We kennen ons zo verloten en we doen ook. Zowel we ontvangen met hem je beden. Hemelse Vader, we komen voor de genadentroon met dankbare harten. Voor al die zegeningen wat u ons beschermd is. Zo veel. En bid dat u eigenlijk in dit land waar we zijn. We kunnen hier kunnen toekomen, die aanbeden. En we zijn niet versteerd van iemand zijn. En we kunnen dank zeggen en zingen. En ons wordt niet geboren te werden. We beden voor die wat het niet zo leicht hebben. Dat ze worden kracht hebben en worden standhaft blijven. We beden ook voor die. Weet mannen, die weet vrouwen en onze mens. We denken ook aan die waar krankheid is. We denken bijzonders van die ongeveer van Kwaasaien en Noemen, Mary Cron, haar mam is gestorven. Ze is exact als we hier, zowel we niet voor eten beden. We weten dat zijn meiden, zowel voor een ander beden in de tijden waar ze schoen zijn. En we beden God dat deze mensen ook was. Dat laten sparen dat u met hen best, even in deze schwere tijd. En we danken die voor dat u ons haast aangeroepen als dine kinder, dat we hier komen als dine kinder. Niet als vreemdelingen, niet als plus juist, maar als dine kinder. We beden ook voor leiderschap en de regering van ons, en onze stad en ons land en even de ganze wereld, en hoe de kerk is, hoe de onheil is, dat de mensen wat u heeft aangesteld, dat deze worden demütigend te dienen willen, en dien wel en kan je doen worden. En we beden bijzonders voor die wat die nog niet kennen, maar dat onze nobers zijn, de kinger en de grootkinger, of een vriend, dat die ook worden die komen, dat die ook kennen, die je alleen hebben, die je gemeenschap hebben met die, dat ze ook een dag toop met die worden in hemel kunnen leven. Deze dingen beden we door Jezus in heilige noemen. Amen. Nu wil ik hem voor later gaan.
Christi war es sein und lech, Nummer 359. Christi war es sein und lech, deiner Christ. Oh, dear.
unser im Himmelreich, Nummer 356. Number 356.
Dankeschön für die Leute. Der Rede von ohne Licht, dann erst nicht zu sein. Und wir können so dankbar sein, dass wir das Licht Gottes haben, die Säune in Heuhans Haft. Wir trocken und angenommen. Und dann können wir hier kommen und haben uns Jakob dort zu kommen und am Ort zu beten. So das können wir ihm verdanken. Dass ich von dir mit der Rede machen will, dann dachte ich im Bett an, wir haben diesen Weg in Morden aus Predia, von wie wir nun heute in der Konferenz mit Menschen von verschiedensten Gemeinden, von Saskatchewan und Alberta, Manitoba, und haben auch noch was Menschen da von Seminole, Texas. Und da haben wir die Gelegenheit, meine Redner anzuhören und alle Dinge durch zu reden aus einer Gruppe. Und wie ich sage, ihr seht in der Zeit und ein paar Dinge, was von dort rüberkommen, was ich dachte, vielleicht ich würde von ein bisschen von reden. Aber uns Thema oder Text, die wir hören von der 2. Timotheus 3, Vers 16 und 17, und das sagt, und all die Schrift, die erst von Gott angegeben und das Haft, das Haft nutzen, zu lehren, zu strafen, zu uns betern und die Rechte, die wir wollen in der Reich des Lebens wollen haben, für Gott. Das ist einzige Worte, die uns dann ein Bett, wir würden sagen, strafen oder ein Bett belehren. Aber das ganze Ding ist, das Wort, das uns gegeben hat, wie wir kennen, Gott nur vorhin. dat we volledig kunnen worden in den sterk, dat we dus alles als God zouden worden in ons leven. En dat we kunnen de werken, de opwerken doen wat hij ons opgegeven heeft. En dat we ons taakst terugkomen naar God en God zijn woord. We checken eens in de wereld rond, er zijn zoveel dingen wat er passeren. En dan, wat doen we ermee? Hoe leven we ons leven als einzelne mensen, als natuurlijk? En zodat we dit weer de taak, waar we even de meest alle, de pardon over dat handje eind van de reden, of van de reden doen en van die dingen, en daar nemen doen. We weten van Johannes 15, 2 vers 18 en 19, als Christen zal er een grote onderscheid zijn tussen ons en de weltmensch. De Christen en de weltmensch, er zal een onderscheid zijn. En dan worden die dat ook aanworen, en dat is niet dat die dan worden immer zich vrij in de touw, dat ons leidwezen erin. En deze wereld zegt dat werkt, die worden hoort aan jen ons. Zo, so, wanneer we in de wereld wonen, leven en we doen. En als Christen, die ons niet goed zijn, wel zijn, of ons hoofd aan ons hebben, hier zegt Jezus: denk niet dat dat verviert je niet, dat zal niet een surprise zijn, want die hebben, die deden graag dat, deden ze te mij, zegt Jezus. Hij had dat even te jullie deden. Hij komt om de wereld erlezen en die wijzen hem niet blijf terug. Zo, je weet dat de wereld houdt weinig leven, die wordt je doet niet leven. Dan zegt hij, wanneer je van de wereld weeren en boos kracht zo leven dan is wat zij deden, dan heb je geen trouble met de weltmensch. Dan stakst je merkst aan de schlagvuilen of de eer, je hast geen andere weg te doen en je post kracht met alles aan. En niet maar met alle daar op een weg naar de hal gaan, maar we zijn tevreden met een ander. Zo zegt hij, wanneer je bloos de weltmensch met gaan, of je krachtste stad zijn, dan wordt het schaffen. En we zeggen, je bent niet, je bent in de wereld, maar je bent, ga je uit deze wereld roepen, zegt hij. En zegt hij, dat is waarom je niet woont leven hebt. Maar er zal een onderscheid zijn, zodat de mensen dat inwonen, en ze zijn het eerste licht weer van het licht. We zullen een licht zijn. En eens eenmaal van het licht, hoe een dag en tijd, hoe we dat niet zeggen, hoe het zelf weer onmakkelijk is. En er staat dat we dat dan vielleicht opnemen, dan merken we, het switcht het licht uit. Oh, dat wil we toch lopen. En er staat die arbeid merken, dat reich te merken, dat rein te merken. Zo, so, we zullen dat licht zijn door Jezus. En een eens eenmaal wordt het niet zeer ongebracht zijn, maar dat is waar we zelf zijn als Christen en als Tjoeken. En dan zegt het in Matthäus daar, dat is eigenlijk wel schwer voor ons, want we hebben een eerlijke natuur, we zijn hier, we hebben ook zin in ons leven, dan is het in ons, dan is het een beetje in kamp eigenlijk wel. Zo Matthäus daar, de eenvaarder zegt daar, we kennen niet twee Herren dienen. We kennen niet twee Meesters aan. Zeggen we worden den einen hassen en den anderen lief hebben, of we worden den anderen einen aanvallen en den anderen worden verachten. Wie gesagt, aber die kost niet beides doen. Zodat we ons een beetje opgelegd en dat is like, voor ons een goede reminder en je denken. Wanneer ons een paar dingen ongelegd worden of een gelegenheid geeft en we checken in wat we doen, wanneer we door aan denken doen, wanneer we Gods kinderen zijn, wat voor beslissing maken, wat doen we daarmee? Of wanneer we dat niet doen en we de wereld nog gaan, wem doen we dan dienen? En hier zegt hij tot ons, we kunnen niet beide wegen gaan, dat schaft niet, we maken ons dat klaar zijn aan ons, wem we volgen doen, wer ons meester is, en waar we ons leven dan worden instaan doornaam. Als de wereld van den taak zeden, die dort sehen, wo er ist, kann man uns leiden auf den guten Weg. Und wir machen dort dann in uns selbst anstehen, dort zu werden, wo wir tun. Und in Hebräer 11, in den 13. Vers, in der letzte Port redet von, und der ganze Vers redet von Menschen vorher, von dem Old Testament, die haben noch Glauben in ihr Faith, dass sie würden seine, die Leben Gott, dass sie würden Dinge tunen. Und sie kriegen die nicht in ihr Lebenszeit zu sein. Und sagt er, und wir haben wohl für die Dinge gesehen, aber sie wissen, sie wären nicht, diese Erd wenig in ihrer Bliebene steht. Und ich sage, auf Englisch, ich habe Strangers und Pilgrims. Ich sage, die wären Fremdliche und Gäste auf dieser Welt. So einmal halten sie dort vielleicht von uns ein großes Ding fehlgeleicht wird. Aber was wird das bedienen für die Ewigkeit? Wie weit das Leben erst hier in der Zeit? Und wir müssen hier leben und daunen, aber das ist nicht das einzige Leben. Das ewige Leben kommt, das wichtigste Leben kommt noch für uns. Was wird das, was ich von dir an mich wähle, was wird das meinen für dich tun? Und steht bloß von dir an der nächste Weg oder ein Jahr von dir. Und ich glaube, einmal halten es dort, dann wird leichter Gott nachfallen, wenn wir wieder checken durch die lange Ziel. Und es steht bloß hier dich wie checken. So, das ist gesagt. Das Vers erklärt für uns, dass das nicht uns ewig heim ist. Und wenn wir das weiden in ihr Leben, kommt dann die zweite Frage. Haben wir Dinge, was die Welt uns in unsere Zeugen eben hat, nennen? Sind das Dinge, was wir haben gecheckt und wir haben uns Dinge, was die Welt, was wir haben? Von der Welt haben wir dort in uns Heim eingeladen und haben wir dort auch in unsere Zeugen eingeladen. Und das ist bloß eine Frage, dass wir uns einzeln keine Stahl, dass wir uns zurückbringen, dann bloß auf Gott sein Wort zu bühen. Und wenn ich das sage, dass wir wissen, dass nicht alle frische Dinge sind erreicht, aber wir wissen auch, dass nicht alle Dinge sind heilig, immer wenn wir das vielleicht auch lange Tiet je doen gaan. Als je moet kampen over het evendeel en wel mensen wat anderen, wel dan sterf je in spijt, want dat hebben we nog niet eigenlijk doen, of we gaan dat al lang niet doen. Maar vielleicht hebben we, en ik wil zo zijn, zijn we demütig genoeg te anderen, wanneer God ons wat wezen deed. Als je moet, een van onze redenen, die redt van, als je moet komen in de gelezen hebben, op Engels, hij redt van, we willen in een rat bellen. En als je moet, de gelijs is vielleicht ganz bekannt, is het vielleicht even makkelijk, en de leidt ons de lijn. Maar eensmaal, de gelijs mag niet door hand leiden, waar we hand willen. En zelfs die meerdere genoeg op het hart, want God zei, wel, nu zul je de gelijs eruit stoppen, ik ga nu een andere gelijs voor je. En dat moeten we doen met weten en discernment, de dingen uittussen en zijn wat. Wo do wir dort? Ist das wirklich jetzt ein Hammer, das reichte Ding? Und wie das am Anfang alles reichte? Oder ist das ein Weg, wo Gott uns nicht anders leiden will? Und ist das Gott, was uns leiden will? Nicht bloß, dass unsere Ideen sind. So dort ist das einzige, wo wir mit kämpfen tun, wenn wir aus einer Gruppe Menschen, einzeln wissen wir aus einer Gruppe, einzeln, wo do wir dort und warum do wir, was wir tun? Und was will Gott haben, was wir tun sollen? So, das ist nicht eine Frage bloß für uns. Diese Frage wird all in die Bibel gestellt und wir wollen dort sein in der zweiten Part von dieser Andacht, wo Zeugen haben sich Dinge gewählt und da wird von geschrieben in das letzte Buch von der Bibel und das wo wir wollen hingehen in der nächste Part. Wat die vrouw is, laat wie God ons leiden, hoe hij ons wil hebben. En zijn we demütig genoeg aan te vallen. En dat wil ik met dat, wil ik dat laten. Wil we ons de gelegenheid nemen, op je beurne knie gaan voor je bed, een sterrelijke bed. En dan wil we even gaan naar het volgende poort. Zo van je kan, wil we ons knieën voor je bed. Dank zijn hemelse Vader voor ons leven en onze beden aanhören.
Take your blue books and turn to page 487, Amazing Grace. Can we stand?
Thank you for that song. It reminds us of when we first believed, and it was so precious to us. The word was so precious. I think many of us will remember the time when we were joining church and we had the baptism and those things, and it was new to us, and it was so precious to us, our faith and our Jesus. And I pray that we will keep every day that He will be precious to us like that. When we read in Scripture, a lot of the New Testament is to churches, and in those days, they were almost all new churches. They were fairly, not very many years that they had been believing, and they were worshiping together. And then in the last book of the Bible, which was written, I believe, a little bit later, John was given the revelation, and he speaks to churches that have already been around for a while. And then he kind of talk to them about their relationship with their Savior, with Jesus. So as a group, we can say individually, but also as a group, how they had moved from that first days when it was so precious to them, and how they were now faring as a church. And I thought it was an interesting theme. And again, it was one of the speakers that touched on it, among other things. So I thought I would go to Revelation. We'll start with Revelations 1, verses 1 and 2. And it says, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So John says this revelation came directly through God, through an angel, and then it came to John, his servant. He says, so here he says, I, John, am bearing record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all the things that I saw. So John is saying, these are the things that I saw in this vision or this message from God, And he's writing it now to the churches that have been that have come together to worship God. And then he says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. So he says, yes, you've all come to this relationship with Jesus, but your blessing is if we can keep those things that God wants us to do, that we don't fall away from the things God has called us to. So then if we would read the rest of Revelation 1, and we won't, but that describes who it is that is motivating John to write these letters to the churches. And it describes just who is telling him to do this, so he has no doubt about who it is that's giving him this message and that he's supposed to share. And then the letters start in chapter 2 of Revelation. So in Revelation 2, verses 1 to 7, he's writing unto the church unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. He says, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the night midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So he says, in his vision beforehand, he had kind of shared how the Son of God was doing these things. And so he says, from this God, he says, this is the message. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. So he starts out with praising this church. He says, you have works that you can look back on. I know you've done those things. You've had patience. You have tried to keep pure. You've taken those that are not real apostles and liars, and you have kind of tried to separate from them. And you haven't fainted. So he says, you have good things in your group, in your church. But then he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast loved thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. So he hasn't just got praise for them, but he says, I have some things I want to point out to you so that you can keep being praiseworthy. I mean, we might say that. And then he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But then again he says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So he gives them some praise, but he also gives them some warnings. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So he writes to this church, but he says, you've lost your first love. And some people have called this the loveless church. We follow the rules and we do some things and we work and we do all these kind of things, but we kind of have gotten to the stage where we forgot to be compassionate. And I think sometimes when we look at scripture, and we had the Pharisees, I think they had a love for the Word of God. They loved studying, they loved knowing. But then when somebody came that needed something from them, they were so busy and so caught up that they forgot to love the sinner. In one place where Jesus talks to them, he says, you're so careful about all these rules, both the mint and the cumin and those things, and you're so careful about them, but you forgot the big things. And it sounds like that is maybe a little bit what the Spirit here is telling to this church. Yeah, you've got a nice church, and you're doing some things right, but you've gotten pretty cold. So, as we go through our Christian walk, do we become more compassionate and more loving and soft-hearted, or do we become cold and rigid because we have our ruts and we have our way of doing things? A question. We don't want to be called loveless Christians, because God is love and we are supposed to demonstrate love. In verses 8 to 10 from Revelation 2, he talks to another church. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye may have, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So this might be called the persecuted church. So there isn't really a complaint about them, but through John, this church is encouraged to remain faithful to the end. He says, you are faithful. I know that. I can see that. But stand firm, because there will be the time, like we read earlier, the world will hate you. There will be tribulation. There will be testings. He says, but be faithful unto death, and then I will crown you. So are we sometimes tempted, when everything seems to look so dark around us, just to give up? But here, these people were faithful, and God, through John, says, stay faithful. Keep it up right to the end. It's worth it. Next church we look at is in verse 12 to 16. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. So he says, I've seen these things. But then he says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrines of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So he says, this is what happened back in your history, and you also have something like that. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. So he has, again, some praise, but he says, he notes that they have allowed heresies into their church. They have allowed the world into their church. They have allowed these things that are causing stumbling blocks to true faith in their church. So this is a stern warning here in verse 16. He says, repent, or I will have to come and fight against you. So this has been called the compromising church. And sometimes that's so easily such pressure for us to do that. Well, you know, people don't like it if you're too firm, so just give a little here and I give a little there. But if it's compromising the Word of God, and we allow things in that are not true to the Word of God, and we unfortunately see that around us, that some of the things are totally pure in Scripture, let's say marriages and certain things, and man and woman and so many things, that there is only one true thing. But even sometimes in some churches, we hear, well, this is okay and that's okay. And he says, so you've let these things in, like the doctrine of Balaam. You've let something come in that isn't true anymore. It never was true, but you've let it in. You need to repent of that. Have I done that in my life? And have we done it in our churches? Again, another question that is raised in Revelation, that John is speaking to churches, to Christians. So they have an issue with compromise, he would say. Then we continue with the next, in verses 18 and onward. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. So he says, I know some things. You're doing these things. You're working. You have these things. But then again, he notes, I have some things, a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And then he says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. So he says, in this church, he says, there was stuff in there, and I have given you a chance to repent of it and to change, but it hasn't happened. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and then commit adultery with her into a great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. So again, he says to those in this church that are faithful, stay true to it. But he says, your church, to some point, is corrupt. You've allowed these things in. And here too, we sometimes have bodies of believers that call themselves Christians, and they have doctrines that don't align with Scripture, but they like to use the word of Scripture. One of those is the prosperity gospel that says, well, if you have true faith, then you will be rich and you will have just easy street all the way along. And that's not what Scripture tells us. Our speaker mentioned, he says, someone had come and it had a very nice brochure and it sounded very nice. But when he looked on the back, he says, oh, this is occult information, and they're trying to mislead people. It's a corrupt religion. So he says here to this church, you're doing a lot of good things, but you also have stuff in there that's corrupt and it's rebellious. And like I read earlier, you can't serve two masters. And as a church, we can't serve two masters. So he's giving them a warning that this will not work in the end. Those that stay true, in verse 26 he says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations, but not to those that do not repent. So do we see, and I've mentioned some, do we see so-called Christian churches or ministries that fit description of a corrupt faith or a corrupt religion? And I hate to be very judgmental, but sometimes when you see huge ministries, huge TV programs, and people come, but it's based on, well, if you come to me as the speaker or the leader of this church, and I will do these miracles for you. Well, we're always told, whatever we do in word or deed is supposed to bring glory to God. And when we don't do that, then there's already a corruption. So do we need to be careful about who gets the glory when we do the things that God wants us to do? Then we go into Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Another church, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, and that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. So he says, you have a reputation that you're alive and that you're beautiful. But he says, you're dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And then he again says, you're not all of your evil, because he says that thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So it says, you do have some, even in your church. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So he says, this church is a church almost in name only. It's called a dead church. Only a few in it are truly spiritually alive. And hopefully that's not our church. Hopefully that's not us. That we look good on the outside, but inside we're dead. This is what Jesus told the Pharisees. He says, you work so hard on looking good on the outside, but the inside you're like sepulchers. There's rot inside. So he says, here's a church that looks good on the outside, but he says, you're not. Examine yourself. Revelation 3, 7 to 12, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, and he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. So he says, again, John is reminding them, this is not John speaking, this is God speaking to you. So he just reminds them, who is telling them this? Pay attention, because it's God himself that's telling you. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So again, he says, you're doing well. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. So like the story of Job, the people thought, his friends who thought Job was wrong, and he actually was following God, those people had to come before Job and confess, and then God could bless them. He says, this too will happen. You will have to stay true, and you are so far. But stay true, and then this may happen. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. So this, of the churches that we read about, seems to be the most faithful church. And it is praised, and it is also given promises. And this church is encouraged by God to remain faithful. So we don't read a lot of negatives, just encouragement to them to stay true and stay strong. And God always wants to encourage us. If we do his will, he wants to encourage us as well. And then we have one more, verse 14 to 21, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works. He says, and I know this. I know who you are. You are neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. You're here, but it's flav. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. He says, this is what you think. But then he says, but you don't know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says, you have an impression of yourself that you're very good. But he says, you're not. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. You think you're rich, but if you come and come from me and get the stuff that's real of value, then you may be rich. And then have white raiment, that thou may be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So he says, you need to open your eyes. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And again, as we had our conference, the theme from 2 Timothy was, the word of God is good for reproof and correction, And here in Revelation, we see the Word of God is trying to correct this church, that they will be the church that He wants them to be. And this may be the church that we, most of us, have heard about most often, the lukewarm church, self-deluded, complacent, unaware that they are mostly useless in God's kingdom. And one speaker at our conference had a story about such a church, and because of time I won't relay it, but it was a very good story, but that story felt uncomfortably familiar. And then someone asked later, and we were having coffee and we were talking, and someone asked me later, do your new members in your church, in your province, do they come from other churches, or do they come from unchurched places? Where do our baptism candidates come from? Where do our members come from? And I asked, when he asked that question, and I wondered, because I know where, in Rhineland at least, where some of our people come from, and I'm not saying it's not a good thing, but the question I asked myself, are we comfortable shuffling the deck, almost, it feels like, from one church to another? Or are we actually seeking the ones from outside any church? Are we seeking the lost? A question to reflect on. Are we lukewarm, or are we satisfied, or are we on fire for God? So I want to return to my question that I had at the end of my German message. Are we humble enough to do what we read in Revelation, in these verses that we went through? And you've noticed most of them I skipped a verse or two. So are we comfortable enough and humble enough to do what we're called to do in these verses? So in Revelation 2, verse 7, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verses 16 and 17, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Verse 29, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 3:6, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, over and over. 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And 18 and 20, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Verse 22 again, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Where we today fit into these categories of the churches, where he has a word of warning, are we willing to listen to God's Spirit? Are we willing to do what he says, hear the word of the Spirit? Are we willing to listen, to repent and change? And if we are willing, how do we know what to do? So that was the question. Those were some of the things that we talked about. And we were encouraged and reminded many times over the course of our conference to remember we have an infallible, pure guidebook, which is the Bible, preserved by an almighty God through his Holy Spirit to help lead and guide us. But we need not only to read and hear, but we need to listen to what we hear and obey God's word. And God's word is unchanging and true, even though the world is ever changing and feels increasingly false. But we can always come back to the Word of God, come back to the Spirit of God, and He will lead and guide us. To close with Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle, or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. So when we want to figure out what do in the world around us, and we do these things, and maybe we've encountered them in our lives or in our churches, what do we base our choices on? What do we base on what our choices are? What will we do? What will we make different? Always we can come back to this word that is true now, it was true when it was written, and it will be true till the end of time. Because that's what God says to us, what Jesus says to us through the written word and through His Spirit. Nothing that He has said will become untrue. So if we want to know what's true, then we go back to His Word and we follow His Word and let the Spirit lead and guide us. Because if we go back to the theme, the text, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So this Word, this Bible we have, this guidebook we have, is here because God inspired people to put down what He told them to put down. And it is profitable. It is the thing that we should follow, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the church of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So my wish and prayer is for each one of us, as we look into our lives, and we look into our lives individually, and we look into the life of our church and our churches, that we go back to Scripture and only Scripture and pray in humility and discernment, and that we let God lead us and not the world around us, not the society, not even our wishes and wants, but the Word of God. And I want to encourage all of us, if we do that, we shall be blessed, because He tells us in so many places, your name is written in the book of life, if you follow my commandments. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you have preserved for us to read, to study. Let it touch our hearts and our minds in such a way that you can be honored in our lives and in our churches. That we are the light that shines in the darkness. That we are the salt that gives the right flavor that draws people to you. We know we are not the ones that save people, you are. But you've given us the opportunity to share your gospel. So we pray that we will do that in your will with enthusiasm, with joy, and with true hearts. These things we pray in your most holy name with thanksgiving. Amen. And we know we can pray anywhere at any time, but let's take the opportunity once more to go on our knees for silent prayer. So please kneel with me. Thank you again, Father God, for loving us and inviting us into your family.
Once again, take your blue books and turn to page number 247. He hideth my soul. My soul.
hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his blood and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows the dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his goodness divine, I sing of my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transformed and I rise to meet in the clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
Thank you for that song. I have nothing more to bring you this morning other than to thank you again for coming to worship, listen to God's word, and to pray for each other. And please also pray for the ministerial as we try to follow God and his word, that he can bless us as individuals, but also as a church, and that we can be faithful to him. So please join me for the words that we read in Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And so go in peace with the Lord.